the Lord this morning for his goodness and mercy to us through this week. Appreciate how the Lord is blessing us in the congregation, blessing us in everything, looking to the Lord to bless us through our meeting. The Lord was talking to me this week about glorifying God.
Amen.
What it means to glorify God. And we want to start with text in Psalms 86:12. Psalms 86:12. It says, I will praise thee, O my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. So God, when he created us, he sought to have fellowship. He sought to have love, where he could extend love and could have love in return. And man, of course, fell away, and that fellowship was broken. And God has, from that very time on, has sought to bring us all back into fellowship with him. It is important that we realize that we need to glorify God.
Amen.
That God doesn't get any glory without us being a part of it, so to speak. The glory that God receives is because of the human that he has created. God is worthy to be glorified if there was no one else in the universe to do that. But the truth of the matter is that he created humans to do it.
Yeah.
He created them to glorify God. Matthew 5:14 through 16. It says, ye are the light of the world. Do you believe that you're the light of the whole world? A little bit of us right here is the light for the whole world. Every person on this earth who names Christ and who seeks to follow his way, seeks to be clear before him, follows his laws, his commandments, they are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's all in darkness. There's only darkness and light. There's nothing in between.
Yeah.
So we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The ways, I want to talk this morning about the ways that we glorify God.
Yeah.
This is one of the ways. By being this light, by being a beacon. You know how the lighthouse sits on the hill, and it is to warn ships of the coastline. It is to give them bearings so that they know where they are, how far they are from shore, where the dangerous things are. That's the light of the world. We're the light of the world. As we follow God, as we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, we are the light of the world. It says, let your light so shine before men. It says here that when you light a candle, you don't put it under a bushel so that you can't see the light. There are many, many today that claim to be servants of the Most High God, that name Christ and say that they are one of his followers. But their light is hidden. Many of the things that they do, they are afraid or ashamed to do it out in public. They're afraid or ashamed to speak out and say the things or do the things that God is pleased with, because the darkness is so dark that they feel like a, so to speak, a spectacle when they do it the right way, when they speak up and they say the right thing, even in the midst of a crowd that is all saying and doing the wrong thing. But it says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. God wants them to see what he has done for you, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People, it is not so important to God that other people see the light. He uses you as a light. But that is not so important to him as you being willing to be the light.
Amen.
He gets glory out of his children that are willing to stand up and be a spectacle for him. He gets glory out of the fact that you are not ashamed of him. The scripture says if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. He gets glory out of the fact that you are willing to stand for the right when everyone else is clamoring for the wrong. He gets glory out of you when you are willing to, when things are being said in maybe a bad way or a gossipy way about someone, that you are willing to either put a stop to it or not listen to it or speak something good about the person. He gets glory out of that because that is not the norm of the world. The world is tied up in dishonesty and deceit and sin and darkness. And they all go down the same path. Some of them are not as dark as others, but they're all going down a darkened path. We are the light. We're the only light in the world.
Yes.
Are those that are willing to follow God. He gets glory out of us being willing to be a spectacle, to be a light to this world. He gets glory and he receives glory even from some that are around, from some that see it. From time to time you hear people say, there's two kinds of ways they talk about Christians. They say, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that means that your light is not very bright. It means that you aren't really glorifying God because they don't see God in you.
Amen.
They see something else working. And then there are the others that say, now that, I believe he is a Christian.
Yes.
What did they see? They saw the light that God had poured into our souls. You know, he delivered us from darkness.
Amen.
He brought us into the light that we might be a beacon and a light and a guiding light, so to speak, for the world, that they might see what they need to do and how they need to be.
Yes.
All right, Luke 17, 16 through 19. Luke 17, 16 through 19. This is about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. Starting at 16, and fell down on his feet, on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. In other words, one of them came back, fell down at Jesus' feet, and gave him thanks. And Jesus answering said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Rise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." God gets glory by our thanksgiving. He gets glory. It says, there are not found that return to give glory to God. Our thanksgiving is glory.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, dear ones, we need to be more thankful.
Amen.
We are not thankful enough for many things.
Yes.
I read a saying on a t-shirt, on the front of a t-shirt one day, and it says, what if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? Think about it.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. How much thanksgiving should there be in each of our days?
Yes.
It's not just a ritual of thanksgiving. It's not just saying, Lord, I thank you for my food and my shelter and my this or my that. Or you know, it's not a ritualistic thing. It is a deep, penetrating thanksgiving down deep in our souls that says, God, you have so changed me and my life. I don't even know how to express how to thank you enough. I can't express what you've done to me. It's hard for me to even come up with the words that are glorious enough to glorify God with. But God receives glory from our thanksgiving. When someone asks us, how are you? And we say, good, thank the Lord. Do you know God gets glory out of that? He gets glory out of it. That person goes away knowing that it isn't just something that just happened to you, but there was a purpose, a purposeful intent on God's part to be a blessing to you. We need to thank God more.
Amen.
This one leper that came back, this was a horrible disease, a flesh-eating disease.
Yes.
And it was a horrible disease, and you were banished and isolated, and there were so many laws and rules and regulations that you could only do so much in society because of this disease. And these lepers came and asked him for healing, and he healed them all.
Thank God.
And they went away rejoicing.
Yeah.
They went away happy. They went away amazed. They went away, no doubt, to tell what great thing Jesus had done. They went away to do all of that. But only one, on his way, as he's going, suddenly was overwhelmed with this thanksgiving and realized what he had received. This freedom to be in society again. This freedom to be with his family again. This freedom to be able to go and worship in the synagogue or wherever he was. This freedom to go in the marketplace. Freedom to eat with other people. This wonderful freedom. He was overwhelmed with thanksgiving. He wasn't just happy because he received it. He was overwhelmed with thanksgiving for what he had done. And dear ones, I feel like that sometimes we are not overwhelmed with thanksgiving for all that God has done for us, that we don't spend the time and the effort to meditate upon the goodness that God has done for us. Meditate so that we are so thankful and overwhelmed with it.
Yes.
So giving thanks glorifies God. Giving thanks is something that we try to teach our children from a young age, isn't it? We always say, somebody does something nice for them, we say, now say thank you. And they immediately say thank you, but are they overwhelmed with thanksgiving? Do they have that down in there? No, they don't. They're just learning a concept. That's what can happen to us in salvation. We can just learn a concept of thanksgiving, but not have the overwhelming, deep-seated thanksgiving in our hearts that actually glorifies God. God is glorified by our thanksgiving. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now the scripture is very plain. Herein is my Father glorified. This is how you glorify my Father. This is how you do it. That you bear much fruit. And that's how you become my disciples, because you bear much fruit. So bearing fruit is one of the ways we glorify God.
Amen.
Bearing fruit. You know what the list, the big long list of the fruits of the Spirit are. All the goodness and the things that God has poured out into our soul. The meekness and humility we have. The ways that he changed us from darkness to light. The way that he changed the way we think. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about that some people say, oh, you're brainwashed. Because you're, you live your religion so close, and you pour yourself into religion and into serving God. And they say you've been brainwashed. And one of the sisters this morning said, we have been brainwashed. Our brain has been washed from the evils and things that were before, and it is a new brain.
Amen.
It has been washed. It has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That is what has happened to us in our being. From our mind to our soul, our ways that we handle ourselves, the ways that the manipulative things that we used to do, that we don't do that anymore. We recognize it as manipulation. And what is manipulation anyway? It is to get your own way.
Yes.
That's all manipulation is. There's no reason to manipulate anyone unless it's to change them to your way. That's what you're after. So here we have, it says that we glorify God when we bear much fruit. When things have changed, so changed in our life. And we have had testimonies here of that. Brother Nutt's family said, Sister Shirley, what have you done to him? That's what they said. What have you done to him? Well, it wasn't Sister Shirley. It was Sister Shirley's God.
Amen.
It was Sister Shirley's God that changed him and made him. And he bore much fruit. And he spread, and people could see it. It was easy to see. It was rich and ripe, and it looked so wonderful. You know how fruit looks on a tree. You can see it when it's green. It doesn't look so good. It's little, puny, you know, hard, very, very hard if you touch it. But then when you get it and it's on the tree and it's ripened on the tree, and then it begins to look different. It begins to draw and to want. And even the creatures, the ants and everything else, they know ripe fruit from hard fruit. They know the difference. They don't go after the hard green fruit. They wait till it's a full fruit. It's gotten all of the sweetness that it's going to get. And then they attack it. They're after something. Our fruit. Our fruit glorifies God. You know why? Because people can't live like this without God. They can't do this. They can't bear this kind of fruit. That's why they say to you, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you didn't say something. I don't know why you didn't just go ahead and tell them off. I don't know how you can take this day by day. People are saying that to us all the time over many different things. Why? Because, because the fruit of the Spirit is so ripe in our lives, changing us into what we are. It is a wonderful thing. That is how God gets glory out of our lives, by the fruit that we bring forth.
Amen.
The beautiful, ripe, sweet fruit. And you know, you see the older people as they get older, and they just get sweeter and sweeter, and more like Christ all the time. And they can bear many, many things. And they can go through pain and suffering and different things in their old age and still bring forth sweet, sweetness. And you remember times in our lives when we have been hurting or not feeling good or whatever, and we get short and we say something. We say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just in a lot of pain today. Is that fruit? Is that a full-grown fruit? When pain can affect it to where I say something that is not nice to you because you're not the one reason I have pain. You're not the reason that I'm feeling bad. Why would I bring forth something on you? Why would I do that to you? God changes that. See, the fruit comes forth and it ripens and it becomes fruit that is easy for people to see.
Yes.
And they know that you're different. And haven't you had people that have walked up to you in a store, never seen them before, and they say, there's something different about you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're beautiful, ripe fruit. And they can tell, even though they've never seen you before, they don't even know anything about you. But there is something there that even they recognize.
Yeah.
They don't call it that, but they recognize it. People recognize things like that. We have to bear fruit to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price.
Yes.
Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So how do we glorify God? In our body, in our spirit.
Amen.
Why? Because our body was, and all of us, our spirit, were bought with a price.
Yes.
The body, it says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
This is God in us.
Yes.
And it is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are to glorify God. We are to show forth his praises. We are to do those things. It's God gave us this body. And you know, there are things that it's important what we do with this body. It's important where we go, what we participate in. This is a body that God gave us. It is given to us to glorify God. Now, people that are still in sin, they don't know how to do that. They're glorifying the enemy and they're glorifying sin. And it's very evident by what they do with their body. It should be very evident by what we do with our body that we are glorifying God. But there are very, very many that get mixed signals about the body of a Christian when they don't dress it properly, when they don't do a lot of things that people looking on can see that is not good. Lord, help us in our bodies, in our bodies. We trust the Lord for so many things, and we believe in the scriptures that tell us to anoint our bodies and pray for the sick. We believe in that. There are so many things that we do that glorify God. But do you know there are many things that we can still be doing in our bodies that do not glorify him? And we need to actually take a look at what we are doing. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He gave us this body. And it says we're to glorify God in our body.
Yes.
Not just our spirit. Some people want to say, well, my heart is right. But they do all kinds of things with their body.
Yes.
But that isn't true. Amen. It all has to come together.
Amen.
In order to glorify God.
True.
Our body brought before God. And we trust him. We trust him with so many things. It is a wonderful thing to trust God for your body. It's a wonderful thing to be able to tell him and let him know that he has control. It's a wonderful thing to let him tell you little things that you should do or shouldn't do for your body, for your health, for your whatever it is that is going on in your life. God talks to us individually and lets us know how to take care, not only take care of these bodies, but to be able to function and do what God wants us to do.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God is glorified in our bodies.
Praise the Lord.
So it's not right for us to destroy them.
Amen.
It's not right to take in foreign substances and all manner of things. It's not right to overeat. In our bodies. It's not right. And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand. We need to understand that God needs to be glorified in our body. It's his. We're bought with a price. Romans 15:4-6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. With one mind and one mouth glorify God. It says here, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. In other words, Lord, the Lord is so patient with us, so comforting to us. And yet, are we that patient with one another? Are we that comforting with one another? Do we look upon the troubles and trials of other and share in their distress? Do we weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice? Because that's glorifying to God.
Amen.
When we have the same mind and heart that he has, I believe God rejoices with us when we rejoice. And I believe, and Jesus proved that he wept with those that wept.
Amen.
And we know that to have the unity among us, we must have patience and comfort with each other. We must have that. We cannot go around saying things that, they should be further along, or they said this, or they said that. No, we have to look on it like Jesus does. And he just forgave them.
Amen.
Do you know that we just need to forgive people?
Amen.
We just need to forgive them. If they get out of sorts, if they say something that isn't very nice or maybe not very wise, and something that can affect us or whatever, we just need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to fill us with forgiveness.
Amen.
Fill us with patience for them. Do you know there are some personalities that are harder to get along with than others?
So.
That doesn't mean God doesn't want to use them. He does. He wants to perfect that personality, you know, that personality that used to be harsh, and now they are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are learning how not to be harsh and critical.
That's right.
But they don't know how deep those things go. They know the surface things. There's things about themselves they don't like. They know the surface things, and they go after those things, and God grants grace to them and blessings to them, and they learn how to overcome those weaknesses in their character. But do you know some of those things run deep?
So.
You don't even see them. You don't even know all the roots that are attached to some of these things in our life. And so our whole life is spent growing up in the Lord. We start out as babes and we grow up in the Lord. And so we are to have the comfort and the patience with one another that God has had with us. When he saw that there was still roots of something left there, but he could acknowledge that we had worked hard on this part. And he could acknowledge it. We need to acknowledge that with one another. Oh, we have a tendency to not see the good, to not see the small changes, to not see the things, particularly in close relationships, husband and wife and children and parents and all. We have a tendency not to see the small changes that people are making. What is more discouraging than maybe you have seen something in yourself and you've been working really hard, and you know you have worked to where that thing is partially gone. In other words, you have seen growth in it. You have seen that you do not react the same way every time. You still see some weakness, but you see that you do not. And the other person in your life says to you, you know, you're never going to change. Dear ones, we need to acknowledge.
Amen.
When we see changes, when we see things. What do we do with our children? If they're messy in their rooms and all of a sudden their room looks a little better this week, Don't we go in there and say, oh, this looks so wonderful and this is so good. Why? What are we doing? We're reinforcing good behavior. We could tear it down. We could go in there and say, this still isn't good enough. And then we tear down the good behavior, because then the enemy comes in and says, well, you might as well not even try, because they don't even see that you tried. These are tricks of the enemy of our soul. We need to have patience and comfort, and hand out patience and comfort to those around us.
That's right.
We need to hand out the same comfort and patience that he had with us, as he's been teaching us through the years, and as he's taken us step by step, and as we've had baby steps, and sometimes that we didn't feel like we were growing at all.
Yes.
Well, other people go through those things too.
That's so.
And we need to acknowledge to God,
yes,
the smallest little things that people are getting a hold of and that they're seeing and that they're doing different. That glorifies God. When you act like his character, when you do it like he does it, where he acknowledges and accepts that you have made a change, no matter how small.
That's right. Amen.
When we do that with one another,
yes,
God is glorified in that, because we are copying his character.
Yes.
We are doing it the way he does it. John 21, 17 through 19. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said it unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.
Yes.
Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And 19 says, this he spake, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Do you know that in our death, we glorify God? In our death. In the way we die. In the way that we have lived. Peter was going to live in such a way. He was prophesying what was going to happen to him. You are going to live in such a way that at the end, they're going to bind you up and they're going to kill you for my sake. And that's going to be a glory to me. Down through the ages of time, as the martyrs have gone out into eternity, and as people have killed them, destroyed them, mocked them, cruel, and I think it's the 12th chapter of Hebrews, maybe not. Anyway, where it talks about the faith, and it talks about at the end, talks about all the things, how they subdued kingdoms, and they did all these good things, but then it gets down to the bottom and it says, and others suffered. And they suffered all manner of things, drawn asunder and with the sword. And it mentions all kinds of cruel things there. God is glorified when it doesn't matter what kind of death we die. He's glorified. When it doesn't matter that we are willing to stand up no matter what, he's glorified. When we're trusting him with our bodies, when we're trusting him that he will heal us, when we've given our whole life and body into his keeping and we trust him and he decides to take us home, he is glorified. Others may look on it and say, what a foolish thing to do, to trust God. But God is glorified. Man is glorified. God is glorified. He gets the praise. He gets the acknowledgement. When God brings us up and out of many things and many sicknesses and all manner of things, and he brings us up and out and we glorify God, he gets the praise. He gets it. Our death can glorify God. How we go through our last days, how we face old age and sickness and disease and different things, it can glorify God. Oh, it's easy in our strength and our youth and our strength and our boldness, and we have all this energy and we have all these things, and to glorify God and have all this strength. Yes. But when you get old,
yes,
and when you're down to where you can't do much for yourself, and others are leading you around, and others are taking care of you, and others are having to do this or that, and you're not able to, you know, do certain things anymore. You get driving at night. You can't drive at night.
It's true.
How you go through that.
Yes.
How you react to that. Mm-hmm. How you stay humble in the midst of that.
Yes, Lord.
Is glorifying to God. Mm-hmm. How you spend your last days. If you spend them in sorrow and grief and pain and all these things, and you have nothing good to say, or in the spite of the pain, if you're glorifying God, talking about Him, you know, saying what a good life you've had, and that you're willing, no matter what you have to face, you're going all the way to the end.
Amen.
That's glorifying to God. That is glorifying to God. You know, there are many things that happen in this life, and there are many changes that happen.
Yes.
And towards the end of life, many times what man wants to do is he wants to alleviate all their suffering.
Yes.
And he wants to, so to speak, drug them so they don't even know where they are. They can't really talk. They can't really interact. They can't really, you know, speak and deal with and say things to their relatives, and their relatives can't really speak to them because the people are so concerned about alleviating pain that they take away a mind to be able to function. God wants to be glorified at the end.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants the things, the last things on people's lips to be about Him.
Yes.
He wants the last things that you say to your family to be about Him. He's glorified in that. He is glorified.
Thank God.
Do we want to live for the Lord up until it just gets too hard and then we just want to check out and be drugged and to the place to where we don't know what we're saying or doing or can't really think cohesive thoughts? Is that how we're going to do it? Or are we going to serve the Lord all the way?
Amen.
Glorify Him, say things about Him, rest in Him, realizing that He can take us through.
Yes, He can.
No matter what.
Praise.
He took Father took Jesus through, didn't He?
Oh, yeah.
He was in great pain and suffering, but He took Him through. Mm-hmm. He can do the same for us. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God. Okay, so to glorify God, we have to abstain from the lusts of this world.
Yes.
We have to be honest before mankind. We have to be performing good works. This is all glorifying to God. But it says that they may see your good works. In other words, all these things are so that others can see your good works. Now, do they glorify God when they see these things? No. No, not usually. If anything, they want to get away from you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. But they don't glorify God. But it says here, it's not about them glorifying God at the moment. It's about them glorifying God in the day of their visitation.
Amen.
You see, there's coming a time when God deals with every soul. And there's coming a time where they are going to look back and they're going to say, I remember my Sunday school teacher, or I remember this pastor, or I remember this woman that lived next door, or I remember grandma or aunt so-and-so. And I'm saved. And she had a lot to do with it.
Amen.
You've heard those testimonies, haven't you? See, it's about us living in such a way that when God visits them, they can look back and they have something to remember and look back on and be able to glorify God for what he put in their pathway. How many things did God put in your pathway and show you the right way? How many people spoke words? How many people lived certain ways? How many people were you introduced to or knew about that actually formed something in your mind that God could deal with later, at a later date? Okay, we're to be that. We're to be that to souls. We are to live such lives that God can use our lives when he visits the people we have come in contact with. When he visits them, they will be able to glorify God because of our lives. But it's sad to say there have been many that have not lived the correct kind of lives. They have been a little hypocritical as they've gone along the way. And they are not, God is not glorified. Because on the day of visitation, they're not going to remember you at all. They might remember you and testify, there was this person that said they lived for God, but they did this and they did that, and I knew that wasn't right. Lord, help us.
Amen.
Help us. And then 1 Peter 4, 16 through 19. It said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, oh yes, let him not be ashamed, and let him glorify God on this behalf. In other words, on this behalf means because he's suffering for Christ. In other words, we need to glorify God when we suffer for Christ. And we remember the disciples in the prison, right? Remember how they were glorifying God, that they were counted worthy.
Yes.
Oh, is that how we feel? Worthy? When somebody shuns us because we're a Christian, and when somebody says, oh, and we just glorify God in our spirit, and we just are so happy because we're counted worthy. Is that what we do? I would venture to say that we're not as good at it as we need to be. There are all manner of things that come against us because we are Christians. There are people that make snide remarks. There are family members that don't want to be around us. We're not included in all their stuff because if we come, we condemn them. We condemn them. And we're not, we are shunned. They hide things from us. They don't let us know about things. Why? Because they're ashamed. And it says here, let us glorify God, that we're counted worthy to suffer what Christ suffered. He was shunned by the elders, the important people, supposedly, of that day. He was shunned by them. He was talked bad about. He was cast out. He was hunted, and they wanted to kill him. They made plans. And we need to, when we find ourselves in these kind of situations, and time is coming, Lord, it seems like that the Lord is going to allow that we're going to be suffering more and more. We're already, Christians are starting to suffer more and more in this country. They're suffering all over the world. I mean, they're actually killing them and imprisoning them and trying to wipe them off the face of the earth, genocide and all, because they're Christian. It hasn't hit us here yet, but that isn't to say that it won't. It could be more subtle here. You don't get the raises. You don't get the job. You don't get this. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things you're going to suffer because you're a Christian. The whole world is going to say how foolish your beliefs are. They believe in something they can't even see. And you're going to suffer ridicule. Sometimes I think it would almost be easier to suffer this, to look and see that if I stand for God, the sword is going to get me. It would almost be easier to think on that line, because you know that, well, it's just going to be a short step across here. You know, it's not going to be too long. But what about if they just decide to hold you? Or they just wanted to torture you? This is happening in other places. What about if it never gets to that kind of a place here in the United States? But all of your beliefs are criticized. They make laws against all your beliefs.
Yes.
They say you can't meet together anymore. They say everything you do and everything you stand for is hate speech, and it's outlawed. Oh, see, there's ways that we can suffer. There's ways that are coming. It says, but this is what I want us to understand. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? In other words, yes, we're going to face these things. Judgment is coming. But God is going to be faithful to us. And he's going to allow things to come our way to strengthen us. Do you know what I'm saying? There are those that are just following God for the, so to speak, the loaves and the fishes. They're not really sacrificing and giving over and giving of their money and giving up their life and letting God have complete control. They're not doing that. They're just for the loaves and the fishes, just the blessings. I just want the blessings. That's all I want. Judgment's going to come to the house of God. And you know what's going to happen to those that are just after the loaves and the fishes? They're going to leave. They're going to back off. They're going to go away. And it's only going to be those that are willing to suffer for Christ's sake, that are willing to go through for Christ's sake, they'll be the only ones left standing at the end. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, in other words, God has to allow these things to come to us so that we can make sure everything is right in our life. Which is a lot of what old age is to help you to make sure everything's right in your life. See, if you were just young and everything right up till the end, you might miss something. But when you get old, you can't do the same things and you're just stuck and everything. You get closer and closer to the Lord because you have to depend on him more. If they scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. If you're suffering according to the will of God, not because you opened your mouth and you said something you shouldn't have said, not because you got in the wrong company, not because you made a very, very bad decision, not because of that. Suffering according to the will of God.
Yes.
Commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Can you trust the Lord that he has a plan for your life? And that he has something worked out for you. And that if you stay where he wants you to stay, that you will be able to make a successful landing on the other shore. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Then you can have all that God offers. And your life will glorify God in heaven. When all men speak evil of you, what does it say to do? Rejoice. That's what it says. Rejoice. When they all speak evil of you, rejoice. Help us, Lord.